redemption.
Amen.
Full salvation.
Amen.
His resurrection power.
Amen.
Sanctifying, glorifying.
Amen.
All transcending every hour.
Amen.
Oh, the riches of my Savior.
Amen.
Nothing less than God as all.
Amen.
His person and position.
Amen.
Now my spirit does enthrall.
Amen.
We get God. Amen.
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 All the riches of my Savior.
Amen.
And now their bread and land.
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
Oh, we may experience you day by day.
Amen.
Oh, the riches of our Savior.
Amen.
So unsearchable and immeasurable.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. May I know these boundless riches.
Amen.
Christ experience in full.
Amen.
And with others may I share them.
Amen.
Thank you.
salvation.
Amen.
And his resurrection power.
Amen.
Sanctifying, glorifying.
Amen.
All transcending every hour.
Amen.
Boundless riches.
Amen.
Christ's experience in full.
Amen.
And with others may I share them.
Amen.
And their content bountiful.
Amen.
Oh, the riches of my Savior.
Amen.
Who can know their breadth and length?
Amen.
Or their depth and height unmeasured? Yet they are my joy and strength.
Amen.
Inside of us,
amen.
Shine upon us,
amen.
That we can see you more,
amen.
That we can experience you.
Amen.
So I thank you for this conference.
Amen.
Thank you for your timely speaking.
Amen.
Lord, we want to say that, Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, we want to know you more.
Amen.
We want to pursue you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, dear saints, this is the last meeting of our conference. Amen. The conference will end in two hours. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's just give ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
And just consecrate ourselves, our attention,
amen.
Our mind and emotion and will.
Amen.
Set our whole being to the Lord.
Amen.
So He's speaking in this conference.
Amen.
Okay? Okay, praise the Lord. Now we come to the last meeting, this last message of our conference. And the title of this message is Being Found in Christ, Knowing Christ, and Pursuing Christ. We are talking about Christ and what we can do with Christ. So here it says, being found in Christ, knowing Christ and pursuing Christ. Okay, we may find something not very usual here. What does it mean, being found in Christ? You know, actually, when the Lord came to the earth, we know that He is from heaven. He is not from earth. And He came with God's will. And God's will is far beyond our will. Right? God has an economy. He has a plan. Of course, we have no idea what God wants to do, right? On earth. Being on earth, we don't know what God wants you to do. But nevertheless, God incarnated and became a man, Jesus. And He came to the earth. And He started to do something, and He started to speak to the disciples. And the disciples just did not understand, because neighbor before was a man who is the incarnated of the triune God, and come to earth to fulfill, to carry out God's will. And he started to teach from God. So sometimes people didn't understand because He said something that they never heard before. For example, that we mentioned in Matthew chapter 16, when the Lord told the disciples that I will build my church. Okay, we know now what the church is, but at that time, the disciples, that was the first time the disciples heard the word church out of the Lord's mouth. So do you think they would understand what the Lord is talking about? I will build my church. So what is the church? Ecclesia, what is that? So sometimes the Lord just says something that they don't understand. And sometimes the Lord says something they may understand by word or from their kind of religious concept. But they did not understand what that was. For example, in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, Lazarus died, right? And the Lord went to him, and he actually wants to, you know, resurrect him, right? And but Martha and Mary, they were so bothered. They thought that once he died, that's all. That's the end. Nobody can do anything for that. But the Lord came. And the Lord told them that, Martha, I am the life. I am the resurrection. Well, these words are clear. They know in their concept, life and resurrection, right? But they know resurrection in their religious concept, not from the divine concept from the Lord. So when the Lord told them that I am the resurrection, don't you believe? And Martha said, yes, we know. In that day, everyone will raise up. So the Lord was telling her something, but she didn't understand because she was blinded. She was veiled by her religious concept. So in this sense, the Lord was saying something they don't understand. In this sense, the Lord was saying something new to them. Okay, then, how about Apostle Paul? Apostle Paul, he was in Judaism, and he knew the law. He knew the scriptures. But after he was enlightened by the great light, after he saw the vision regarding these two mysteries, after he saw that Christ is the mystery of God, and the church is the mystery of Christ, his view of the Old Testament completely changed. Yeah, praise the Lord, he had the knowledge of the Old Testament. But now he has a New Testament economy vision when he read the Old Testament. And then because he was the first one on earth who saw this, so it is hard for him to relay this to people at that time. So eventually, Paul also had to kind of invent some phrases, some utterances that nobody had ever heard. And we saw many of those words in Paul's epistles, right? Like, we want to talk about one verse first. That is, where is it? Okay, here.
Can you see it?
Are they big enough? You know, in Philippians 2:20, Paul said, "For I have no one like souled who will genuinely care for what concerns you." There's a word, like souled. That is kind of a strange word, right? Even in English or in Chinese, when you say like souled, what does that mean? Like souled is very difficult to understand. So even in translation, some translation translated this word. Here he said, "I have no one like souled who will genuinely care for what concerns you. For all seek their own things, not the things of Christ Jesus." He was talking about Timothy, his co-worker. He was recommending Timothy to the saints in Philippi and said, "I have no one like souled like Timothy. Timothy is like souled with me." It is really awkward to say it this way, right? So some translation translated it that "I have nobody like him." That Timothy is, means that Timothy is a good co-worker of mine, and I have nobody like him. Such a good co-worker. Well, that is more common. People will say that, right? "He is my good friend. He is my best friend. Nobody is like him." Right? But the Bible didn't say that. The Bible, Paul didn't say that. Paul said, "I have no one like Saul who will genuinely care for what concerns you." And many things here, Paul used some terminologies or some new words in Philippians. For example, he mentioned something like out resurrection. Not only resurrection, but out resurrection. Super resurrection. I don't know how to translate it, but literally it means out resurrection. What does that mean? So Paul, he saw something. He saw something that's beyond, you know, the word that he had, or the knowledge he had, or the interpretation he had regarding the Old Testament. So he has to use some new word to fellowship with us. Okay, knowing this, now we want to come into this message. Even there, he said, we come back to the title of this message.
Being found
in Christ. So what is that, being found in Christ? Again, we know the word literally, right? Being found. But what does that mean, being found in Christ? How can I be found? How can I be found in Peter? What does that mean? So we need to get into the book of the Philippians to know all these things. Now, before we get into the outlines, I would like to say something to you, dear saints. Okay? We are, the general subject is the experience of Christ, not the doctrine about Christ. So now we are not going to know about Christ. Now we want to know Christ. It's different, you know, to know about something and to know something. You know, I know about Peter, that means that I heard about him. Maybe he wrote some books, and I read his books before, and maybe somebody talked about him where, and I read that, so I know about him. But I don't know him personally. I don't know him in person. So we are not talking about we need to know about Christ. We are talking about knowing Christ. And this is a very important utterance in Philippians also. Paul said, you know, to know Him, and to know the power of resurrection, right? So we are here to talk about or to pursue about knowing Christ or experiencing Christ. This is something experiential and something subjective. Therefore, I would ask this time. This way. This morning, I think Brother Mark gave a very good illustration when he talked to our young brother Tim. There, remember what he said? He asked him, "Do you read the Bible?" Right? And he said he kind of explained to him how he can read the Bible, not just read the Bible as a black and white, just the word. He said he can read the Bible in the spirit. But how do you read the Bible in the spirit? That is that you read the Bible. It's just like you were talking, fellowshipping with the Lord. And because the word actually is Christ Himself, the word was with God and the word was God. So when we read the word of God, it gives life, and actually we are communicating, fellowshipping with God. So very often we read the word, we should not just take it as knowledge. We should take it as an intimate fellowship with the Lord. So the best way to read the Bible, or one of the best ways, is to read it in a praying spirit. Or we can say that to pray, read. And Mark gave a very good example. When you read, there's a, Lord God loves the world, and it includes me, right? I mean, God loves those who belong to Him, He will love them to the uttermost. When we read this, we do not just get the knowledge that, I know that God loves me. We should have a kind of feeling, and that we can respond to that word, right? We can just say, Lord, I also love you. And at that moment, we started to have subjective fellowship with the Lord in the word. And this is a kind of experiencing Christ, right? So what I want to say is, I want to say this now. So when I finish the message, when the time for you to share something, I hope that you're sharing, you'll be kind of responding the word that you will hear in the message now. Okay? And so, especially the brothers and sisters behind, after the meeting, I will encourage you, everybody, say something. But you don't have to give more messages. Okay, I know, the saints behind there, some saints were very, very diligent. They may have heard, this message from the video. Audio. Okay, you have heard the message, and actually we cannot cover so many things. So they would, you may want to add some more from the messages to the audience. But you don't have to do that. It's like that. When I told my wife, or maybe on the opposite, when my wife told me, she said to me, David, I love you. And I said, oh, love, yes. Love is long suffering. Love is this and that. And I started to quote, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And what do you think she would feel? Would she feel, oh, thank you for telling me all this revelations? When she said, I love you, the only thing she wants is, tell me that you love me too. Or even you tell me you love me more. And she would be happy. Right? So please, after this message, there are two kinds of responding, toward the messages. One is, we can say that when there is a message given, actually, brothers here, there are two kinds of functions. One is the function of the teacher. The other is the function of the prophets. They are all, these gifted ones, in Ephesians chapter 4. And the teacher's function is to teach the truth. And for that, we have a very good practice called PSRP. Right? When the truth is laid over for us, we have the outline, and we PSRP, and we come back to have a test, right, in the training. And that test is to speak the truth back, to show that, yes, we got the truth, and we studied it, and we have it. So we need to relay very clearly those points back. And that was a test. But at the same time, in the message, the speaking brothers, the brother, he doesn't only teach the teachings. He also speaks something. And that is also the function of the prophets. And the prophet, the word of the prophet is, he just go right into your spirit. Something will touch you. You were sitting there, but all of a sudden you got touched by some word, by some sentences, even by a hymn. And you have some feeling inside. And then, you know, how do you deal with that feeling? You don't go back and study it. You don't compose and you see what should I start. You just stand up and just respond to this speaking. Respond to the word from the prophet. And that is very important also. So this is, we have the outline. So you can go back and study the outline. No problem. And you will get more. Even you need to go back to listen audio or watch the video from the brothers giving the messages in the conference itself. Right, and study into all the verses. Very good, do the studying. But now, this moment, right here in this room, right here at this moment, anything you heard that would touch your heart, your spirit, you can stand up and give some testimony or some response after the message. That would be great. Okay, and that may be the beginning of your experiencing Christ. Amen? At least for tonight. Okay? Now, let's go in. So, okay, that's the deal, right? Okay, thank you. Amen. So, praise the Lord. But if you were touched by some point, some sentence in our life, and you don't know how to say, but you can stand up and then use your spirit and say that, and just express that, I was so touched by this sentence. That is also very good. Okay, very good. Okay, now we want to come back to the outline. Okay, let's open the outline. Then the outline to Matthew. It says message 6, but it is meeting number 4. Okay, here it is here. Being found in Christ, knowing Christ, and pursuing Christ. Let's read together Roman numeral 1. Okay, let's go. Okay, Paul's desire was to be found in Christ. We need to say something more about this before we get into the outline. In the message itself, when it was given in this conference, Brother Ron Kingus gave this message. And in the beginning of the message, he used adequate time to talk about the word we just said, like soul. Because here, to experience Christ is not something doctrinal. So here, Mark also, Brother Mark mentioned to us twice already, that the book of Philippians is a very special book. Paul wrote this epistle not like he wrote Romans, Philippians, or Colossians. There he wrote teachings first. Even the book of Romans is, the whole book is a very good teaching regarding the gospel of God, right? And in Ephesians also, in the first three chapters, Paul also gave us the teaching about the church. And then at the last three chapters, he told us how do we apply this in our church life. But in the book of Philippians, he didn't give them any teachings there. He only gave them, he was sharing his own experience And he was sharing about his feeling toward the saints in the Philippi. And he also showed them what he was expecting from them, and how he, you know, these old things regarding the experience of Christ. Yeah, so, and he mentioned this word, like soul. Then we would realize that inside of Paul, actually, he has a vision, and he himself was totally governed by this vision. And this vision has saturated him, that what he, you know, his thought, his thinking, and his conduct, his behavior on earth is totally governed by this vision, right? And he was also, he cared for the church in the Philippi, also according to this vision. So he wrote this letter, epistle, to the saints of Philippians, of Philippi, and he told them, now, the matter of like soul. And we can see that like soul, like yesterday we talked about, you know, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And like soul is something similar. Like soul, it means that I have the same thought, same mind, same emotion, same will with a certain person. And Paul said he has no one like soul with him. This is something sad, actually, to say that. You know, Paul as the apostle, you know, he had so many co-workers with him, and he was there teaching regarding the economy of God. You know, and he revealed that there is the building up of the body of Christ. But eventually, when he wrote these epistles, he was in prison. He also knew that actually the environment will just is getting worse. But at that time he even said that I have no one like soul with me. Only Timothy. So this is something sad. But when he said that someone needs to be like soul with him, actually he himself was like soul with Christ. That's why he was telling the Philippians, you need to that this might be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And this is why in chapter 1, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. That means that Christ is living in him. And he is fully like soul with Christ. And he knows God's heart's desire. He knows God's economy. And now he is looking for somebody would be like soul with him also. Will also be brought into this mind, which also is in Christ Jesus. That they would also be brought into the knowing of Christ, even knowing God's economy. Okay, so then let's have this background, then we can go on to read those points. Now let's read point A. Deep within Paul was the aspiration to have his whole being immersed in and saturated with Christ, so that all who observed him might find him fully in Christ, who also should have the earnest desire to be found in Christ. So he's like soul is Christ. He has Christ's mind in him, and for him to live is Christ. Christ living in him, so he has this deep concern. He was within Paul was this aspiration to have his whole being been immersed and saturated with Christ. So when people see Paul, they will see Christ. Christ will be magnified in Paul. This is his. Aspiration. And he hoped that the saints in the church in the Philippi would also desire this. Now B, Paul wanted to be found in Christ in the condition of not having his own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, taking Christ as his subjective, lived out righteousness. Okay, this is by Paul's word himself. What does he mean to be found in Christ? Here he said, to be found in Christ is not to have his own righteousness, but he have the righteousness of Christ. Actually, here, let's read, okay, before we go on, let's read the verses from in chapter 3 of Philippians from 7 through 14. Okay, let's read it this way. Let's read it carefully. And you can look at all these verses here. And I will read it in English. And Brother David there, he would read in Chinese. So we read as we are all reading together. You can also join me to read together. Okay, but let's read slowly. And let's consider Paul here is writing. Just imagine that he is writing, or he wrote this epistle to us. And he was speaking to us. This apostle, who was like Saul with Christ, who has Christ living in him, to him to live as Christ, who wants to magnify Christ in life and death. This one, he has concern for the church, even for us. Now he wrote this epistle to us. So now let's read this letter with full of response. We are not just want to, you know, okay, I read these verses again, you know, been there, so I'm seeing that. And I know that, but just open our spirit to see what we gain from Paul. Okay, okay, we will start reading. Paul said, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted as loss on account of Christ. But moreover, I also count all things to be lost on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." On account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse that I may gain Christ. See, the word again, gain Christ, what does that mean? Gain Christ. Okay, then. And be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is out of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is out of God and based on faith to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. Perhaps I may attain to the out resurrection from the dead. Do we understand? Do we really understand what he's talking about? All those words, you know, be found in him, we saw this here. But how about that I may gain Christ? Gain Christ, and he count all things lost. And he on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. How can a person be like this? He would, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse. That I may gain Christ. What happened to him? What did he see? What did he see in Christ? And then be found in him. What does that mean? You know, to see a vision is different from just get a knowledge. You got a knowledge, knowledge make you pop up. I have more knowledge than the others, so I become proud. But you know, if you see a vision, not just know it, not just to get the knowledge. If you see a vision, that vision will submit you, subdue you. I mean, subdue you. Like Paul, when he was still Saul of Tarsus, he was so proud, right? He said, "I am perfect as far as the law is concerned," and he was there persecuting the church, right? Thinking that he was serving God. But until that day, he was enlightened by the great light on the way to Damascus. He was subdued by the heavenly vision. And his life changed totally. And he became a pest. You know, people wanted to kill him. The Jewish people wanted to kill him. And he was nobody. So when he was examined by those kings, they said, "Paul, why? How? What? What happened to you? You were a learned person. You are even a citizen of Roman Empire. You are the Roman citizen. You got a bright future, but how come it became like this? Everybody wants to kill you. You are nobody. And Paul said, that is because I am not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So when you saw a vision, actually you will be governed by the vision and your whole life will be changed. Okay, now we can see that Paul's life was changed and he wants to be found in him. And saying that be found in him, it means that not having my own righteousness, which is out of the law, which he was before this, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is out of God and based on faith. Okay, now let's read it. They come back to the outline. Outline, we have read point B, right? Did we read point B? Okay, now let's read point 1 under B. There are two aspects of Christ being righteousness to the believers. Okay, Paul said, I want to be found in Christ, but not my righteousness, but the righteousness which is through faith in Christ. And here the outline said, there are two aspects of Christ being righteousness to the believers. A, the first aspect is Christ being the believer's righteousness for them to be justified by God objectively. What does that mean? Okay. Point B, the second aspect is Christ being the believer's righteousness lived out of them as the manifestation of God. Who is the righteousness in Christ given to the believers for them to be justified subjectively? So there are two aspects of this righteousness. One is objective, the other is subjective. You know, this has not been clear through you know, century, I mean hundreds of years in the church history. And even now, you know, we have a hymn. Let's say this hymn. Okay, mm-hmm. It was 295, and Chinese is 中文237首. Okay, this hymn. And this hymn was written by dear brother Zinzendorf. He was, praise the Lord, he was a dear brother in the church history. If you know the church history, you know that he played actually a very important role in the church history. He loves the Lord, he was very given, and he received all those genuine believers under the persecution of both Catholic Church and their Protestantism. And he helped them to be together. And he was a really dear brother. He loved the Lord, and his spirit was very strong. And he wrote this hymn. And well, it's different from we have in our hymnal, But in the beginning, this is how he starts. He said, Jesus, like blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Okay, this is how he started this. And then he continued to say that, verse 3, when from the dust of death I rise to claim my mansion in the skies, and then this shall be all my plea, Jesus hath lived, hath died for me. Okay, he was saying that, he received the Lord, but the Lord didn't come back when he was alive. So he passed away, so he died. But on the day the Lord comes back, he will resurrect, right? So he said, verse 3, but from the dust of death I rise. So all the believers will rise again. Amen. And then we will go to the judgment seat of Christ, right? And there, we will be judged by Christ. And what will we boast before that judgment seat? What is our standing? And here, Sinsendorf said, it is Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. But is that right? Something is not quite right here. Okay, let's see this. I made a... Oh, okay. Yeah, later. So, please allow me to use this chart. I need to use it twice, because once I will use it in Chinese first, and then I will show it again in English. So please allow me to speak in Chinese first. Okay, let's switch. OK， 我要讲中文了哈。这个我们来看一看这一段哈。我们这个基督的义在我们的身上有两个方面啊。好，首先我们先看啊。OK， 这是罪人的定命啊。我们都是罪人，我们是罪人，是生在罪中，然后一生在那里累积我们的罪啊，一直犯罪犯不停，对不对？啊，然后最后呢，我们是迈向死亡，谁不会死的，举手啊？没有。然后死后不是一死白就白了了，死后还有审判。那个什么呢？最后是什么呢？就是基督的白色的大宝座，要审判所有的不幸的人。然后呢，他的结局就是到火湖去了。这个是所有的人的定命，没有一个例外的。对不起，一个例外也没有，孔子也不例外啊，都是生在罪中，人一生就有罪行。然后一直在犯罪，累积他的罪案，然后呢迈向死亡，最后接受审判，又到火湖去了，够悲惨了吧？都是亚当犯的错。好，然后怎么办？但是呢，没有关系，主来的时候给我们另外一条路了，我们有一个罪人得救的福音，还是罪人，但是主来了，所以主在十字架上，他流了血，那一次的义行啊，就是那一次的义行。就是我们除去罪案，让我们出死入生，所以呢，他就把我们的罪除去，然后神就进到我们里面来，进到我们里面的灵里做我们的生命，我们呢就成为信徒了，罪人就成为信徒了，然后我们就有客观的义，我们成为神的儿女，有神的生命，一定永定，永不沉沦，我们就说哈利路亚，对不对？来，我们讲一次哈利路亚好吗？要喜乐啊，我们现在不在这里了，我们到那里来了，你跟那里一点关系都没有了，记得啊，在那里。好，感谢主。所以呢，因此我们的定命也不一样了，我们的终点不是那里，那现在我们的终点在哪里呢？
在哪里？
叫做新耶路撒冷，那是我们的终点。好，但是要喜乐，可是要警醒，因为在那终点之前会有一个基督的审判台，你都要先到基督的审判台来，之后你才能进去。好了，那么现在我们回到新真读，我刚刚写的那个诗歌了。他说啊，基督的血跟他的义啊，已经洗净了我了。事实上，他跑到这里来了，因为在这个地方啊，白色大圣这个大宝座审判的时候，审判你要不要下火湖，是看你有没有信耶稣，对不对？你信了耶稣，就有他的宝血洗净了。是吧？你就得救了嘛。所以在这个地方，你只要信耶稣，你就不会下火湖啊。可是问题是，我们都是基督徒，我们不会去那里的。那里是给罪人去的。他跑错地方，他应该去哪里啊？他应该到这里来才对。所有的基督徒，如果主来的时候我们已经过世了，我们会再复活的。复活的时候，你不是去那里哈、啊？你要记得，你永远不会去那里了哈。啊，你会到这里来，基督的审判台，那这里审判你啊，有没有资格，不是得救，有没有资格进神的千年国里面去。好，那么这里千年国呢有两个部分，一部分呢是国度，另外一部分是外面的哀哭切齿的部分，一部分是奖赏的部分，底下是惩罚的部分。所以在这个时候呢，我们得胜的道路啊，应该是从这里来。我们在里面不止那个灵在我们在我们的灵里面有生命啊，我们要顺从灵，我们魂要变化，我们要生命要成长，然后成为得着建造，成全人要被这个神的生命来充满的，就是神的扩展在我们的国度，在我们里面，这样子我们才能够进去。但是你也有可能，亲爱的弟兄姊妹，你也有可能啊，不理那个在我们里面的那个生，在我们灵里面那个生命，你呢照样的任凭肉体虚幻过生活，不管他，等到主来的时候，那个基督还在你的被你关在灵里面啊，他在你做监牢出不来。所以呢，等到你到了基督审判台前的时候，你会发现你没有可夸的，你没有可夸的。所以呢，我们到了基督的审判台前要夸的时候，要夸什么呢？你不能夸这个在这个十字架上的耶稣。基督说，你们现在这里有千年国作为赏赐要给你们进去了。我说主啊，我要进去。主说为什么你要进去？他说因为你在十字架上替我流血了，你已经死了，我也相信了，所以我现在要进去。耶稣说不对不对不对，你那张门票啊是让你免去那里的， 因为你信了，
所以我如果你从这里已经到这里来了，现在你还要再进来的话，
你不能只有我在十字架上替你流的血，你必须让我在你里面活出来。所以刚刚保罗才说，在我活的就是基督，基督在我里面活出来，一直的让我认识他，一直的扩展，到最后把我充满了，我就有那件衣服啊，美衣啊，能够进到与基督同盟里面去了。好，现在讲英文了啊。 OK, now we come to English version. OK,
this is the destiny of a sinner.
Okay,
so he was born in sin,
and he has been accumulating sins through his life, right? And he is heading for death. And after death, there was judgment. And the end is the lake of fire. Nobody is exempt. Everybody is there. Right? Okay, so this is the terrible, miserable destiny of all sinners. But, praise the Lord, there is another option. When the Lord came, he gave us another way.
So, he is a sinner, but the Lord
went on the cross and he shed his blood. And here he has this righteous deed once for all to redeem us. So through receiving this, the sinners now became believers. After receiving him, he took away our sin, and then God came into our spirit to be our life. So now we are believers. We are God's children. We have God's life. And we will never perish forever.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we have nothing to do with the lake of fire anymore. Forevermore. So don't go there. Then where is our destiny now? Our destiny now is the New Jerusalem. In eternity future, right? So we should say hallelujah, but we need to be alert, because before we enter the New Jerusalem, there is Christ's judgment seat there. Christ's judgment seat. And the judgment will start from the household of God.
Amen.
So,
this judgment even comes before this
great white throne. So, okay. So now let's come back to him, written by a brother, dear brother, Sinsendorf. When he said, Jesus, thy blood, and that righteousness, that he was boasting on Jesus' blood and the righteousness. Actually, he was thinking that he was standing before this throne. If we were standing this before this throne, then we can boast, yes, Lord, I have your blood, right? I believe in you. I have your righteousness be there. You have died for me. So I have no problem standing here. Right? But we would never stand there. We would never stand there. As believers, yes, if the Lord did not come back, if he delays and we die before he comes back, and we will all resurrect when he comes back. But the place is not here. It's there. We should be standing there, right? And there, okay, we need to stand there to be before Christ's judgment seat. And now, he will decide how we are going to enter into the New Jerusalem. There is a period of time as the Millennium Kingdom, 1,000 years. And there are two roles for us to go into the New Jerusalem. One is for the overcoming believers, and that is the Millennium Kingdom. We will be called kings with Christ there, right? And how can you get there? That's through your transformation in soul. So you let Christ, that you don't let Christ be imprisoned in your spirit. You need to let him spread. You need to let him develop his kingdom to saturate your whole being. That's why Paul said, I want to know him. I want to know him. And I want to be found in him. I want to magnify Christ. I want Christ to live in me. And this is this process. And there we can boast, Lord Jesus, I have been giving ground to you. I have you living in me. I have been knowing you. I have been, and you have been saturating me. And now, praise the Lord, I have you in me. and I have you zipped out by me. I want to go into the kingdom. And the Lord said, good, come in. But there are another kind of believers, they didn't do anything. They actually imprisoned Christ in his spirit. So for these believers, when they came, they cannot get into the kingdom. It's just we read actually in the training, right? In the training, the 4 days, we see those 10 virgins, 5 prudent, 5 foolish. Those 5 foolish is like that. There. Yeah, he has the lamb. They had the lamb, but they didn't have the oil in their vessel. But the prudent version, they have the lamb and they have the oil in their vessel. So they went in with the bridegroom to the feast. But these ones, door was shut and they will be in the outer darkness. Okay, and then anything else? Okay, so there they will be ready with Christ. And this one, they will be saved. Yes. They will be saved. Eventually they will be there in the New Jerusalem. But so as through fire. So if we know this picture, then we realize that the hymn written by Sensendorf, something wrong there. So Brother Lee feel that we have to change to a kind of a, you know, revise this hymn. So instead of Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. This is the objective righteousness. That Christ died there, objective. This redeemed us. But what we need here is God's Christ, who is my righteousness. Not his deed, not his blood, but he himself should be our dipped out righteousness.
Right.
And this is my beauty. And this is my glorious dress. Well, actually, this is my beauty is. Okay. Here it is. And praise the Lord. So you see, even Sensendorf he wasn't clear about the truth. But praise the Lord, we are blessed. You know, we are not, you know, we didn't say this in, you know, pride. We just praise the Lord that, you know, we have so many saints before us in the centuries, and they have been experiencing Christ, and the Lord revealed this truth to them little by little. And up to now, we had all of this clear truth with us. So praise the Lord. This is why Paul was here. He was very concerned for the saints in Philippi, because they know that you cannot stop there. You need to go further. You need to let Christ make home in your heart. We need to give way to Christ. We need to like soul with Christ. We need to deep Christ. We need to magnify Christ. We need to give every room in our whole being to Christ, so that when he comes, we will be approved by him, and we can even on the process, we can express him on the earth. Okay, I think that's good enough. Now, let's go to point two. Continue. The subjective righteousness of God in Philippians 3:9 is actually God himself becoming our daily living. A living that is right with God and men. It's not only, he is not only our life. He should be even our living. You may have life, but you may not live according to this life. Right? In Chinese, we have a saying that if you see a man that lives really very, very, very bad, and he will say, you will live like a dog and pig. 中文叫做猪狗不如啊, 这个人活的, So it means that he has the life of human, but he didn't live according to the life of man. He lived according to I don't know what. So his life will be a mess. And we have God's life, the divine life. But do we live according to this life? So here, the subjective righteousness of God, it means that not only Christ will be our life, he should be our living too. Okay? Then, point A. Paul did not want to live in his own righteousness. in his own righteousness. The righteousness that comes from man's own effort to keep the law. Paul desired to live in the righteousness of God and to be found in the condition of expressing God by living Christ. If we would be found in Christ, we must be in such a condition. I think the chart has shown us a clear picture. No, you don't confine Christ in your spirit. Don't put him in prison in your spirit. We need to let him come out to our mind, to our emotion, and our will. That he would make home in our heart. Eventually, he can even give life to our mortal body. Okay, point C now. Faith, we are at point C, right? Faith is the basis, the condition on which we receive the and possess the righteousness that is out of God, which is in Christ. So we have faith. We just in faith turn to the Lord. And then we can exercise our spirit to let him spread inside of us, that we can be found in him. Okay, now let's read point two together. Okay, here we have several words again. We come to the to know Christ, and then in parentheses, experience Christ. So now we come to the word experience again. Yes, this word is not in the Bible. We can find this word experience in Philippians. But when you see these things, you know, what is Paul? What is Paul's relationship? Well, what is he? It's really hard to say. What is he do? What did he do with Christ? You know, he is not just living with Christ. He is not just, you know, of course, for sure, he is not imitating. He was not imitating Christ. But he said he want to be found in Christ. He said, to me, for me to live is Christ. He said, I want to magnify Christ. These are all extraordinary utterance. So when you put it together, brotherly used this word to experience Christ. So Ron, in the message, he said, this time, he look up this word. What does it mean? He wants to make sure that when we say, I want to experience Christ, do we really know what we are saying? Do we really know what we really mean to experience Christ? So he found that a very good definition, which Mark told us in the very beginning, the first meeting. Experience of Christ. Experience, the definition of experience is a direct personal participation. Direct personal participation. So when we say the experience of Christ, we mean the direct personal participation in Christ. You may have the knowledge of Christ. You may know about Christ, but you may not be experiencing Christ. For example, in these 4 days, we have the training, right? We know that what is the kingdom of God. We know that at first, the kingdom of God is just Christ himself, right? We know this now. Okay, now we show the verse. We know that the Lord told them that don't say the kingdom is here, kingdom is there. Behold, the kingdom is in your midst. That means that Christ referred himself as the kingdom of God. So now we have this knowledge. Christ is the kingdom of God. And we also know that how Christ is going to spread this kingdom. In Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, we know that the kingdom was as a man goes out to sow. Now we know that Christ is sowing himself as the life of God into us to develop the kingdom of God, right? Okay, this is our knowledge. We got the knowledge. But did we experience this? after we know this, do we have direct personal participation in Christ or in Christ sowing himself into us as life? Well, it is not easy. We just receive it. But do we have this direct and personal participation in Christ to that Christ develop himself inside of us? So it's one thing to stand up and say, praise the Lord, I know that Christ, you know, Christ is the kingdom of God, and Christ is sowing himself as the seed of the seed of life into us, so to spread his kingdom, and he sat down. But is there the direct personal participation in Christ? But you may also say that. You can stand up and say something that, and I now realize that Christ is in me as the life of God, and he is developing himself. So, you know, you may be sitting there, and you have a feeling that you want to tell people this thing, and you have a feeling that you should share this. And the Lord is in you. He tried to come out from your spirit. He tried to express himself, you know, out of your spirit into your soul, and then you speak something. But you were there, and you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. And you know what happened? You just missed the opportunity to experience Christ, to have a personal, I mean a direct personal participation in Christ, because the Christ in you is living. He wants to be lived out from you, and he wants to share it. He wants to speak to the saints. And you, if you just follow that feeling and stand up, actually right at that moment you are experiencing Christ subjectively. And when you are speaking, you know, this is not my speaking. If you are there bothered by yourself, say, no, I'm not adequate, I don't know how to speak like the brothers. And if you think that, you are trying to fulfill that according to your own righteousness. But if you follow the Lord, you just stand up and say something over your spirit, your enjoyment, you are experiencing Christ at that very moment. And you, right there, you have the direct personal participation in Christ right away. So remember this, and remember the word I shared with you in the beginning. So after the message, all of us here can have a direct personal participation in Christ. We all can experience Christ right today. Amen. Okay, don't let it go. Don't let it go. Okay, well, let's go on. Now, where are we? Point A. To have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ is by revelation. But to know Christ is by experience, to have an experiential knowledge of him. Now we need to check these two verses. Where are they? It's here. Okay. We need to look at these two verses. Paul talked about knowing Christ twice. The first time is in verse 8. He said, but moreover, I also count all things to be lost on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse that I make in Christ. So Paul wants to know Christ more. So he would pay anything, all the price to know Christ more. That he know that Christ was so rich, he can never exhaust the knowledge of Christ. So he wants to know that, and he even want to pay the highest price to know Christ. That, okay, again, in the training, the 4 days, well, at least we got one more knowledge about Christ. Christ is the kingdom of God, right? He is the realm of the kingdom. But that is the revelation here. In verse 8, that was the revelation. We pray that we will have more revelation from the Bible to know Christ. But you need to go from verse 8 to verse 10. Here, Paul said, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Here, This knowledge to know here is not just revelation. It is experience. It's to know Him in experience. Okay? So this is something subjective and experiential. You need to know Him, and we need to know His power of resurrection, and even to be conformed to His death. And when we read this, we know that when Paul wrote it, just read this verse, you know that Paul, there is something in you, right? Paul, that we can see that Paul is knowing Christ in an experiential way and in a subjective way. And there should be a law in that, though, I also want to know you this way. I don't want to know you just in letters. So I don't want to just stand up and just read a paragraph or a poem to you. I want to stand up and tell you, brothers, today I was so touched by the Lord. The Lord is living in me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to draw me. I want to love you more. And you said, now, that is to know Him. And when you say this, actually, you have experienced the cross, because if you are in yourself, you will not stand up. You will not stand up. But because you have enjoyed His power of resurrection, you were so filled with Him, and you stand up. When you stand up, actually, you have put yourself on the cross. You don't care if you lose your face. You know, like with Chinese. 爱面子啊，我们的爱面子啊， we love our face, we don't want to lose our face. I stand up and I'm not prepared. I know that they would laugh at me and they would belittle me. But you stand up because not because you are ready to give a good speech, but because you were stirred up. You enjoy Christ so much, and you realize that He's living in you, and you know that He wants to speak through you, and you stand up and you speak. I tell you, it's not you speak, but Christ speaks in you. That is the subjective knowing Christ. And at the same time, you experience what? You experience being conformed to His death. And you experience the power of His resurrection. And doing this, you are knowing Him subjectively. Okay, you know what I mean, right? You all need to practice this after this message ended. Okay? Don't lose it. Don't ever lose the opportunity to know Him in the power of His resurrection and being conformed to His death. Okay? I think the burden is released. Now, where are we? One, to experience Christ is to know and enjoy Christ in an experiential way. If you do that, like I just said, if you speak physically, humanly, or naturally, you may feel you have lost your face because you may not even finish your sentence. Jesus is so good. You may feel like you lose your face, but actually you have great enjoyment inside. When you sit down, I tell you, even you did not finish your sentence, you will have an enjoyment of Christ that you've never had before. I guarantee you. So, brothers and sisters, that's right. Okay. That's good enough. Then two, to know Christ is not merely to have the knowledge of Him, but to gain His person. Gain His person. Three, to gain Christ is to experience, enjoy, and take possession of all His unsearchable riches by paying a price. You know, even for you to stand up is paying a price. Is that right? Are you ready to pay this price? Are you? Amen. Okay. Four. We need to know Christ by experiencing Him, enjoying Him, being one with Him, and having Him live within us. In this way, we know Him by both revelation and experience. Of course, we are not exalting speaking in the meeting that high. It sounds like only you just stand and speak and then you experience everything about Christ. No, I didn't mean that. What I meant is that may be a beginning of our objectively experiencing Christ. And we need to have a breakthrough. Once you break through, then it's easier for you to follow this, for you to release your spirit, and you can do this. You find that you can experience Christ subjectively all day long. and 7 days a week. You believe me? Praise the Lord. Then, point five, let's turn the page. Point B. Paul aspired to know the power of Christ's resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. One, the power of Christ's resurrection is his resurrection life, which raised him from the dead. In the messages, when Brother Ron was giving the message, he said that, you know, all these things that Paul mentioned here, for us, it may be very far. And sometimes we may think that, is that real? To me, for me to live is Christ. Paul can say that, but is it real for me? Paul seeks to magnify him, but can I do that? And Paul counts everything loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. But can I make it? Right? Yeah, maybe we do not have the measure as Paul has, but we can pray. And Brother Ron really encouraged us to pray, Lord, make this real to me. Make it real to me. If it is not to the standard, the extent as Paul, but I also can experience something, this objective experience of Christ, this objective knowing Christ. Lord, make this real to me. Don't let it just remain in the black and white pages. Don't let it remain just a knowledge in this dead mind. Make it real to me. And then you stand up and say something. Praise the Lord. Now, A, the Spirit is the reality of Christ's resurrection and its power. B, the Spirit compounded with Christ's resurrection and its power indwells our spirit to dispense Christ's resurrection and its power into our entire being. So all that we need to do is just tend to our spirit. Remember the chart? When we received the Lord, God came into our spirit already. He is there. He is ready to speak, to live together with us. We just need to tend to our spirit and cooperate with Him. Two, the experience, the expression, the fellowship of His suffering in Philippians 3:10 refers to the participation in Christ's sufferings. A necessary condition for the experience of the power of His resurrection. A, we first experience the power of Christ's resurrection, and then by this power we are enabled to participate in His suffering. So, we don't seek for suffering first. We don't need to seek for suffering. You don't need to. But if we want to take, if we want to follow the Lord, the suffering will come. And when the suffering comes, we will participate in the suffering of Christ through the power of resurrection. So don't be afraid. Like this illustration, you know, to lose your faith in suffering. Actually, you know, to maybe not only to Chinese, to everybody, to lose faith in public is a big suffering. Nobody wants to do this, right? Do you want to lose faith in public? No. But when you were filled with Christ, and by that power of resurrection, you can stand up. Remember that woman in chapter 4 of the Gospel of John? She was a sinner. The Samaritan woman, she dwells in sin. She had 5 husbands before, and now the man she was living with was not her husband. And she knew that. She was ashamed of that also. So she didn't want to go to the crowd. So when she needed water, she went out to the well, you know, when it was hot, when there was nobody, because she wants to hide from others. That's shameful, right? But when the Lord talked to him, when the Lord brought him to confession, when the Lord told him about the Spirit, when he received the Holy Spirit, when he received the Holy Spirit and got saved, she didn't care. She ran to the city and said, come, look at this man. He told, He just told what, no, my story, he told everything. And those are shameful things, but now she didn't care. He said, wasn't this the one we are waiting for? Where's the resurrection life? Near the power of resurrection. She, well, actually she was participating in the suffering of Christ. You know, this kind of suffering. It is no suffering anymore. Of course, the suffering should be the suffering, you know, for the church, for the body of Christ. It's not our own suffering. Okay? Let's go on.
Where were we? See, Philippians 3:10 also speaks of being conformed to his death. This indicates that Paul desired to take Christ's death as the mode of his life. One, being conformed to Christ's death is the base of the experience of Christ. We need to take up our cross. That means that we need to apply Christ's death to us so that we can know him. We can enjoy more of the power of resurrection. Again, we come back to this standing up. You know, the moment for you to stand up, at that moment you cross out yourself. That is very clear. But you did it, you do it in the power of resurrection. The more you do it, the more you enjoy Christ as the power of resurrection. Okay, I think that's good enough. Then two, the mode of Christ's death refers to Christ's continually putting to death his natural life so that he might live by the life of God. Three, by being conformed to Christ's death, we experience Christ in his death for the release, impartation, and multiplication of life. And we also glorify the Father. So when we stood up and say something, even we preach the gospel or we serve, we do not give glory to ourselves. So if, you know, it's because we care for our, you know, we just mind too much our faith. Why? Because we want to give glory to ourselves. If I want to speak, I want to prophesy in the meeting, I want to be well prepared. So when I stand up, I want to give a very good prophecy. How to start, how to continue, and how to make a great conclusion, and sit down and everybody will say, wow, amen. So who gets the glory? That's whose righteousness? When we are fighting for our own righteousness, you would never stand up because you would just feel, no, I would lose my face. But forget about that. We prophesy not for our own righteousness, not for our own glory. Just put ourselves on the cross and we will enjoy the power of resurrection from Christ. Okay? Then, see, right? Or we have D. The result of being conformed to Christ's death is that we attend to the out resurrection from the dead, which will be a prize to the overcomers. What does it mean, out resurrection? That's point one. To attend to arrive at the out resurrection means that our entire being is gradually and continually resurrected. Let's come back to that chart again, you know. In the beginning, we have the life in our spirit, but we need to let him grow, spread, to saturate our whole being. And this is a continual and, gradual process. It's an everyday process. Amen. Then two, the our resurrection is a resurrection out of the old creation into the new creation. Okay, this out resurrection, there the out is there with a reason, because it is not just to resurrect from the dead. You know, when we are thinking about resurrection, we are thinking about the great power to for a dead person to be alive again. Right, actually, no, it's not that. In Chinese, there is another saying, 这不叫借尸还魂, 复活不是借尸还魂, the Chinese, they are saying that there is a dead body, and somebody's soul enter into the dead body, and the dead body rise again with the other one's soul. This is not resurrection. Resurrection is, when we go through death, and we have the life of resurrection, which is God's life, the Zoe life inside of us, then we walk out from death like Christ did. How did Christ conquer death? He did not avoid death. When he was there in chapter 11 of John, everybody was thinking that, Lord, why didn't you come earlier? You could have come earlier, right? But if you come earlier, we can pass by death. Lazarus can pass by death. But now he already entered into death. What is the good for you to come here? No. Christ conquered death. Not by making a detour to go around death. No, he just boldly entered into death and then came out. And death didn't hold him. That's the way of the reversion. So he said, he just said, Lazarus died. No problem, he will come out. And that was just a sign. Eventually, Christ went into death. And he will come out. He not only come out from death, he will be holding the key of the Hades. Now, he is going to give this key to us. We can enter into death and we can come out. One day, brothers and sisters, we will all enter into death if the Lord did not come back before we are still living. When we are still living. But no problem. We will come out from death. We will walk out from death just like Christ did. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, now, where are we again? So now here, too, it says that the ultimate resurrection is not only to revive from death, but actually is we will resurrect from the old creation even to new creation.
Amen.
It was typified by the court cloth, the body cloth of the Lord. When the Lord was put into the tomb, he was clothed by this, how do you call that? Body cloth? Or?
Shroud.
Something shroud. They used this to bind the dead body, right? But when the Lord resurrected, that cloth was left there.
Yes.
And Christ was gone. And that cloth typified the old creation. So when Christ resurrected, he not only resurrected from the dead, he left. He took off the old creation and he entered into the new creation.
Amen.
So for us, we need to enter into fully into the new creation, which we need to be fully transformed by God. And we need to reach the out resurrection. Our spirit, our soul, and even our mortal body, we are all in resurrection. And we will become a total new creation. Okay, point three. Like Paul, we should pursue Christ himself and pursue toward the goal for the prize. 1a, in order to pursue Christ, we should not think that we have attained, and we should forget the things which are behind and stretch forward the things which are before. We all love this verse, right? Point b, the goal toward which we are pursuing is the full enjoyment and gaining of Christ. And the prize is the uttermost enjoyment of Christ in the millennium kingdom as a reward to the victorious runners of the New Testament race. Again, the chart. A chart. Here, there, it's just the beginning. Let's go back there. That was just the beginning. Hey. Okay, that's the English. So there is just the beginning. Praise the Lord. We have the redemption of Christ. But we are in the process of this gradual, and gradual and continual process of the transformation of experiencing Christ. And eventually we will be fully saturated by Christ. And there, that is the out resurrection we will reach. And there we will be fully, we'll be able to to express Christ fully. And there we will be there in this kingdom together with Christ, as a reward to the victorious runners of the New Testament race.
Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord. I'll stop here. So now, are you ready? Are you ready? Don't lose the opportunity. This is the last day, last meeting, last moment of this conference. The purpose is for us to experience Christ subjectively. Okay, I'll stop here. Your turn. Amen.
Saints, you know, again,
we have so many, so it's our turn to outflow when you have enjoyed. So restrict yourself to 1 or 2 minutes, and one speaking, one standing, so there will be no waste of time. We have about maybe good 20 minutes, so please start.